The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get your official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom. I've been alone with you inside my mind. And in my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times. Come on, Ryan. I somehow... Sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello, you're a dirty fucking whore.
Hello, welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are not live, but this is a brand new episode. If you're listening at 11 a.m. in the East on Saturday, March 27th, 2021, at dnrstudios.com, the only place you can hear this podcast throughout the week that it first airs. If you listen anyplace else, leave me your goddamn ratings and reviews on the audio platform you use. Email me anything at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Facebook page, download the comedy albums, get your official ass merch. T-shirts, tank tops, even used granny panties. Ryan told me that one of my masks that I wear on my face looks like granny panties.
It did.
I was highly offended. The link to all that merch is adamsank.com. And remember, you can call the ass anytime, even when we're not on the air, and leave us a voicemail. The number for that is 804-TALK-ASS. Our guest today is a returning favorite to the Adam Sank Show. It is comedian and master impressionist J.L. Covin. You know, he has risen to prominence doing Trump, but he does so many other impressions that are equally terrific, and lately he's been doing Andrew Cuomo, and it's a fabulous Cuomo impression. So I'm looking forward to having him on the phone later on this hour. But first, it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show, and also from the bathroom where he has spent the last 15 minutes, Ryan Frostig, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, I just took a wicked dump. Now my bowel movements are okay. I feel like I'm still gay.
So beautiful. You and JB both took dumps. Was it the bagels?
It's always the bagels.
I didn't have my bagel yet. This is my... Okay, so I don't have normal hangovers like people that have the headache stuff. My hangover is me sitting on a toilet.
You have ass hangovers.
Yes. Mm.
I can sympathize with that, but I also get headaches too. All right, well, we're going to jump in with some breaking news. It actually broke a week ago, but I didn't have time to talk about it last week. And it involves OnlyFans. OnlyFans has quietly banned all sexually explicit content made in public.
That is some bullshit.
Content that was recorded in or is being broadcast from a public place where members of the public are reasonably likely to see the activities being illustrated is now banned. Every time I hear members of the public, I think of Evita. Members of the public, they tear me apart. Anyway, I have to say that I feel very attacked by this, and I'm going to tell you why. I understand, like, you shouldn't be having sex in the middle of, like, Macy's. You know, sometimes I will
oh boy.
Sometimes on the porn tube channels, I'll see, like, a video of two guys fucking in, like, a store, and there's clearly customers milling about in the background who could easily spot them. I'm not in favor of that. But
yeah, that's gross and wrong.
It's gross and wrong, but there are a lot of videos that I love watching that are shot, for example, in a men's room or the dance floor of a gay club or aboard a gay cruise ship. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my favorites. And here's the confession that I promised I would make last week. I have, for the first time in my life, subscribed to an OnlyFans account.
That's not Matthew Camps? Shocker.
It's not Matthew, although I would love to watch him fuck. It's actually For My Fans, which is a similar site. I'm so embarrassed to admit this. It's Why? Austin Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also number one on For My Fans.
Isn't he the founder of For My Fans?
Oh, is he? That would make sense. Yeah. Now, it's not because I'm so into Austin Wolf. Like, I think he's sexy. I also, there's things about him that I find kind of gross.
It's the public play, isn't
it? It's the public. Is that what you just said?
Public play.
Yes.
Yeah.
And especially, I don't know why this does it for me, but all of his videos aboard Atlantis cruises.
Mm.
On the dance floor, in the bathrooms, on the dick deck, in his stateroom. They're all so incredibly hot. And I thought, you know what? This is worth $9.99 a month for just 1 month. I'm going to unsubscribe at the end of the month. Sure. But for now, I am spanking it every single night to his videos. And they are terribly exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are public places and there are public places. And if it's a gay public place where the only people who are going to see you are other gay men, I don't have a problem with it. Discuss.
When I worked at Ace, I remember...
Hotel.
At the Ace Hotel. He was on Scruff and I woofed him just because... And he messaged me, and I believe that he wanted to fuck me in the bathroom at the Ace Hotel. But I was too afraid to do it.
I'm shocked that you said no.
I know.
Yeah, but, girl, you should have took the advantage.
But I think back to, we covered this a few years ago, when he fucked that flight attendant.
Austin Wolf.
Yeah. That video was so hot.
Yes.
I watched it like 5 times.
Okay, so that's a public place technically, but it's also like a one-person bathroom. It wasn't like anyone was going to see them. It's more like,
but like
the people who have to use the bathroom after that.
Yeah, but it's also like I mean, they obviously got caught, but like it was so hot that, like there's to me that's not hot because I can't really like the idea of it is not I want to be comfortable.
Right.
I
want to feel. Who wants to get fucked in those tiny little bathrooms?
The way that it was filmed. And
he's really good.
What he was able to, the content that he was able to produce in that setting with that person was really hot. So, yeah, I mean.
One of the videos on, I feel like I'm doing a commercial for Austin Wolf, right? Who does not need any promotion from me. Quite the other way around. But one of the videos on For My Fans is he's on the cruise and this like slutty little twink leaves his boyfriend and his friends who he's having dinner with in one of the dining rooms to go get fucked by Austin in a bathroom. Why is that so hot to me? It's terrible. Yeah. If that were my boyfriend, I'd be furious. And yet I'm jerking off to it like in a frenzy. Anyway, the other content banned on the app includes incest, bestiality, necrophilia, urine, revenge porn, and prostitution. I agree with banning all of those, except what's wrong with urine?
Water sports? What's wrong with water sports?
I don't know.
But it's not my thing, but why should it be banned?
See.
The thing that I think I read somewhere that is also included in this is that if you were like outdoors somewhere, like if you were like in a like that's included in public.
No, I love the outdoor play. I love the parks.
And content creators are complaining that this is cutting into their livelihoods, especially during COVID, because it's safer to get your dick sucked outside right now and film it than to be in someone's bedroom.
Right. So
this is my bedroom. Hey,
this is a controversial move,
but I,
for one, am taking a stand against it.
The last thing I'll say is
I'm organizing a march.
I think part of why Austin Wolf created For My Fans. OnlyFans, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding that. I mean, it's a flawed site. Obviously, it's very popular, but there's been glitches. There's been all these, obviously these new like rules, and it's.
Yeah.
I think the community is moving away from OnlyFans, especially after.
Well,
this.
I'm not endorsing any of these products, but I will tell you that I'm currently enjoying his videos a lot. Meanwhile. Amazon, largest bookseller in the world, obviously, has now banned any books that characterize being gay or transgender as a mental illness.
This is,
This is in response to a book called When Harry Became Sally, which is so gross.
Yeah.
Responding, this is the full title, When Harry Became Sally, Responding to the Transgender Moment. This is a book of dubious authority that labels trans people as mentally ill. Amazon banned it. And, of course, the right-wing Republican assholes in the Senate, like Marco Rubio, Mike Lee of Utah, Mike Braun of Indiana, and good old Josh Hawley of Missouri, protested Amazon's banning of that book, accusing Amazon of curtailing right-wing speech. But Amazon has responded by saying, quote, "We carefully consider the content we make available in our stores, and we review our approach regularly. As described above, we have chosen not to sell books that frame LGBTQ plus identity as a mental illness."
This is the kind, I mean, I think that sometimes we take for granted that sometimes the small changes, the little things, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about Dr. Seuss and, mm-hmm. and that whole situation. It's these little things that we don't realize because they don't seem as significant, but it all makes a difference.
Absolutely. This and, kind of, you know, if there was a book being sold on Amazon with the title Black People Are Inferior, Amazon would ban it and no one would say like, oh, you're censorship. No, there are certain things that are simply harmful and wrong and incorrect. And Amazon, once again, as a private company, can sell whatever the fuck it wants.
Yeah.
They're not going to sell swastika t-shirts and they're not going to sell books that frame queer people as mentally ill because science has proven that to be false. The medical establishment has proven that to be false. And because all those books do is fuel hatred, fear, and harm to queer kids. So fuck those senators. And hooray for Amazon for doing the right thing. JB, did you want to say something?
I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a big cartoon person. I love Tom and Jerry. Loved as a kid. But I got into an argument with many people because old Tom and Jerry, super racist. As in, they did the blackface tons of times.
Yeah.
And it was bad. And I love my cartoons, but I understand that gotta go. Like, the way we live in now, it's...
Take out the bad episodes.
Yeah. There's tons of good ones I remember from Tom and Jerry. It's just those, like, I did...
There's some bad Bugs Bunny ones, too.
Yeah. They're bad Looney Tunes, too. I love Looney Tunes. I love all these things, but we have to understand that they are bad shit. And we got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Period. Like, our comedy, our art, anything should never hurt another race, culture, or ethnicity. To be funny or approved.
Correct.
And I think it's the least that these companies can do is to just like take it off the market, make it not available, make the episode.
And the internet allows, like, I can sell anything I want on my own website, right? Yeah. If I can write a book called When Harry Became Sally or any book I want or any offensive, disgusting thing I want and sell it on my own website. Doesn't mean Amazon has to carry it.
Right.
They are not compelled to sell anything they don't want to. So congratulations to them.
Yes.
It's a win for the queer community. Meanwhile, I'm going to skip this next story because we were just mentioning Josh Hawley, and this is a delicious story out of the New York Times. Mm. They did a deep dive into Josh Hawley. This is the Missouri senator who shockingly at the time decided to vote against certifying the Electoral College votes, and basically he was part of the insurrection. Intellectually, if not actually, that stormed the Capitol. And he continues to be one of the biggest piece of shits ever in the Senate. The New York Times like went back and kind of traced his whole life and his college experiences. And according to one of his classmates, he had a poster of a shirtless man hanging above his bed. Mm-hmm. It's a picture you both will recognize, I think. And Josh Hawley went to college in the late 80s, just as I did. And so I had this poster. It was called L'Enfant, also known as Man and Baby. It's a 1987 photographic poster depicting a shirtless male model, Adam Perry, holding a young baby. This is the picture.
Oh.
You've seen that picture, right?
I don't think so.
Basically, every gay man in the 90s had that poster on their wall in college, including me. And so did Josh Hawley. And so... when asked about this, he said it reflected his fervent stance against abortion.
Okay. Sure, Jan.
Now, what? If you really wanted to show your fervent stance against abortion, pictorially, you could have a woman holding a baby. You could just have a baby. Mm-hmm. You could have a couple holding a baby. But why a shirtless, hot, muscular man?
Oiled up, greased up.
And holding a baby. It doesn't make any
sense. It's sus.
He said he told the New York Times that the homoerotic image was not something that he remembers, but that he's proudly pro-life. Now, I've never heard any rumors about Josh Hawley, but I'm telling you, that poster is gay as fuck. I don't know a single straight man who would ever have that hanging in his dorm room.
Every Republican is gay.
Everyone
is a DL you heard dick this sucker.
Here. You heard it here first.
And that leads perfectly into our next story, because an Alabama Republican who voted against trans rights was caught looking at trans porn.
Oh, my God. The hypocrisy.
His name is State Senator Tom Whatley. That's Whatley. Whatley. He liked a tweet that was sent out by the account Bambi Hardcore TJ. Bambi Hardcore TG 18 plus, who describes themselves as NB trans girl fairy princess. The tweet was a picture of Bambi's breasts with the caption, "I love my new fat G cup titties."
Work.
He liked this tweet. This may surprise some of his constituents, considering that he voted in favor of a bill called SB 10 that would criminalize doctors who provide gender confirmation health care to young people in accordance with established transgender standards of care. The bill is so draconian that a doctor who prescribes puberty blockers to a trans child could get 10 years in prison for doing their job.
That's some bullshit.
This is not the first time that an opponent of trans rights has been caught looking at trans content. In 2018, Alex Jones was caught on camera with a video on his phone that had Naughty T-Babe in the title. Some reporter looked it up, and it turned out to be trans porn. This Whatley has had no comment whatsoever. I went to his Twitter account. It's still up. There's tons of comments posted onto his latest tweet, including from me, asking why he's looking at trans porn and also voting against trans rights at the same time. I'm sure that he has some like other Twitter account that he uses for porn, and he just fucked up and got his accounts confused. But once again, the hypocrisy of Republican men is so obscene, and they get away with it. There's no accountability. His constituents will keep voting for him as long as he keeps voting against people's rights. The state sponsor said, "We don't want them affirming that. Hey, yeah, you're right. You should be a boy if you were born a female." This is Alabama politics. Meanwhile, professional douchebag Milo Yiannopoulos is back in the news. You know, we haven't talked about Milo in a very long time. And it's because after Twitter banned him, he kind of fell off the radar, much like Donald Trump.
Yes.
Twitter deplatforming bad people is like the greatest thing for humanity ever.
Truly.
Because you just don't hear from them anymore. Yeah. But Milo found himself in the spotlight where he loves being after he announced, get ready, that he is now ex-gay.
Shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up. This is fuckery.
Shut up, cunt.
I'm done with her.
And he is now starting his own conversion therapy center.
Oh, my God.
Like, all this reminds me of, I don't know if you guys remember me, but I'm not gays no more.
Yeah, what was his name? I don't have sex with men's no more and carry a purse. he basically has found a new way to grift. And so he's raising money for this so-called conversion therapy center. He says, first of all, remember he got married to that man? Yeah. He says, "My husband has been demoted to roommate."
Oh, my God. What the actual fuck?
He said, "For those people who suggest that reparative therapy is somehow damaging to people's self-esteem. That is so laughably preposterous. Conversion therapy has a terrible reputation for precisely the reason that a lot of other things associated closely with either the religious right or the nationalist right have a terrible reputation, because they've been lied about constantly and strategically for decades. Yeah, right.
Conversion
therapy, we're the liars.
Yeah, has a terrible reputation because it's sick and wrong.
He admits that he's not straight, but he said celibacy is a modest and achievable middle-term goal. Naturally, in the end, my aspiration would be to take it all away. He said he only uses the term ex-gay to troll critics. He's a pathetic asshole. This will go nowhere. And he's just
his career.
Such a moral whore. I like actual whores, but I hate moral whores. Meanwhile, do you guys remember a couple of months back, I did a story about this barista in San Diego who told this female customer, this Karen, that she had to wear a mask, and she refused, and she shamed him on Facebook and threatened to call the cops. So then this other Good Samaritan started a GoFundMe to raise money for the barista, mm-hmm. whose name was Lennon, and that GoFundMe ended up raising over $100,000. Well, now the woman, the Karen, who started the whole controversy, is suing the Good Samaritan who started the GoFundMe for Lennon for defamation. Her name is Amber Gillis. She visited a San Diego Starbucks last June. A barista asked her to put a mask on. She took a photo of him and posted it on Facebook with a caption saying, "Meet Lennon from Starbucks, who refused to serve me because I'm not wearing a mask. Next time I will wait for cops and bring a medical exemption." So that's when Matt Cowan, who was a total stranger, didn't know Lennon, living in Orange County, started this GoFundMe in which he, you know, named Giles and described her as a Karen. Now Giles' attorney, Michael Harrington, says that the GoFundMe page is a misappropriation of Giles' name and likeness, and that it's defamatory, and that there was commercial utilization of Giles' name and likeness without her permission. He calls it an invasion of privacy as well as defamatory. Cowan says the only images of Giles that he used on his GoFundMe page were screenshots that she herself had posted to Facebook publicly, and that everything he did was philanthropic. She also claimed to provide proof that she had a medical exemption for wearing masks. They were two documents from her doctor that she produced. One is a pelvic exam from 2015 that say she had probable exophytic fibroid arising from the anterior wall of the uterus. In other words, a fibroid tumor, which is very common and has nothing to do with your breathing or your ability to wear masks.
That's a reach, girl.
A second piece is a handwritten note with letterhead from a San Diego chiropractor who asked not to be named. The handwritten note reads, "Amber has underlying breath conditions that prevent her from wearing a mask or any type of facial covering whatsoever. She also has claimed that she has mask acne issues and doesn't believe masks work." Bitch.
From the chiropractor.
None of those are legitimate medical excuses.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I just got to put this clause on it. This is fuckery.
Thank you.
100%. I just feel so bad for this guy. Like, he tried to do a good deed.
Yeah.
And now he has set up his own GoFundMe because he's got to hire lawyers to defend him. And I can't believe any judge would allow this lawsuit to go forward. But remember, she started this all.
Yeah.
She's the one who posted the picture of Lennon on Facebook and said, "This just happened," publicly. So how can she accuse someone else of defaming her? She defamed herself. Anyway, so she now has a GoFundMe to raise money for her lawsuit. Matt Cowan has a legal fund to defend himself from the lawsuit. So when last I checked, Matt's GoFundMe had raised $38,265 out of a $50,000 goal. Amber's GoFundMe had only raised $5,765 out of a $15,000 goal.
I can't wait to see how this turns out.
I mean,
it's so absurd.
He has to win.
Yeah, he'll win.
And she's got to pay for his legal fees. This is fuckery.
and emotional damage, because this is traumatizing for me. This is just fuckery.
They have to pay JB too. JB's joining the lawsuit.
Yeah, because it's the bullshit. I'm tired of you white people making up problems for no reason. There's too many problems in the world. Stop it. Stop it now. Sit down. Sit down.
I'm making a GoFundMe for anti-Karen shenanigans and chicanery.
Yes.
Join the anti-Karen brigade. Okay, well, a couple weeks ago, the world watched as Oprah interviewed Meghan Markle and Prince Harry about the treatment they allegedly received at the hands of the royal family. And among other celebrities who weighed in was Leslie Jordan, a.k.a. Beverly Leslie from Will and Grace, who's now about 100 years old.
Yes.
But still as feisty as ever. Here's what Leslie Jordan said on his Instagram.
Leslie Allen Jordan, reporting for duty. I've been watching this Oprah interview with Meghan Markle. Woo-hoo. Shit's getting real. She needs to speak her truth. That's wonderful. I'm just afraid those royals are going to smoke her. But you don't tell any queen, let alone the queen, to apologize for losing a war of drama. I hope those kids know what they're getting into. But I will say this, listen, gays, we know drama better than anybody. We got her back. Yes, ma'am. Miss Markle, the gays have got your back in this royal battle.
He's funnier when he has writers, but his voice is hilarious regardless.
His voice is so charming. That's great.
He's a living treasure. But we didn't really talk about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
I mean, I am 1,000% Team Meghan. I think that just based on everything that happened with Diana, I think the monarchy is needs to be dismantled.
I'm on Team Meghan, but I do take issue with. I don't believe everything she said 100%, particularly when she said she had no idea what she was marrying into.
That was a little
or what weird. The protocols would be or, she was a 36-year-old grown-ass woman.
Right.
We know what royal life is like in the United States just from watching TV and movies over the years. Like, we're kind of familiar with the fact that it's a sacrifice, that you're a public figure, you have to be on all the time, you have all these official duties, you know, it's work.
Yeah.
And if she didn't know that, then surely the man she was about to marry, who's been a royal prince since birth, would have said to her, like, hey, before we get married, you need to know this, this, and this. So I didn't buy that part. But as far as to me, the real story is how the tabloids in the UK have treated her.
Yeah.
And how racist and vicious they've been, and how no one in the palace or in the royal family establishment seems to have done anything to protect her.
But the other thing is, and Harry talked about this, was the relationship between the press and the establishment, the firm.
And we know that from The Crown.
Right. But I also think that there is this narrative around Meghan sort of like forcing Harry to leave the royal family.
I
don't buy it either, because I kind of always, even from, like, I remember as a teenager, just seeing a lot of stuff about Harry's always been kind of like not an outsider.
He's the rebel.
But he's the rebel of the family. Yeah. I
remember when they took pictures of his cock? I've seen his cock.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's very nice. I genuinely believe that what Meghan might have done is just sort of offered Harry a perspective that, like, you don't need to stay in this. Like, she may have suggested there is a life outside of this. If you want to leave, you know, we can do that. I think that it's something that was probably on his mind, but he just never imagined he could. And she gave him permission to really, like, take that chance. And I support them. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, this is going to force the royal family to get their shit together. And I think they were completely chastened by this interview. And I give it up for Oprah.
Yeah.
Oprah's fucking great, man. I miss her daily talk show.
You know, there's talk about Oprah possibly doing an interview with Britney Spears.
Oh, I know.
That.
I cannot wait for it. Okay, we're going to do this story because I put it on the rundown every other week and we never, ever get to
is
it.
Is this the Viking?
This is the Viking story.
I feel
story.
Like we did this.
No, we never did it.
Because I said I was a naughty Viking for Halloween.
I mentioned it like three times, but we never did the actual story.
Oh, okay.
So once again, this was brought to me by listener Alex Ringler, whose web series Annoyingly Fit Neighbor was just selected by the Chicago Indie Film Awards. It's an official selection.
Congratulations, girl.
Yes, she's going to festivals. So
this
anyway,
is for you.
Here is the story. Homosexuality, it turns out, was not regarded by the Vikings as being evil, perverted, or innately against the laws of nature. Rather, it was seen through the lens of leader versus follower, with bottom men being submissive to guys who were stronger. And by absorbing their essence in all of the ways
Ryan's
that
right.
Possible,
we did talk about this.
I read this whole thing.
Yep, I remember. As soon as you say the little guy,
I told you.
Ryan, I'm
so
sorry.
About thank that. You. I talked about being divided into Vinas and Vatas.
Yes.
Sure.
You guys, you I never it, did this.
You compared it to the Romans.
Yes.
I remember this conversation. I swear to you.
I only remember it because of my contribution to the conversation.
Listeners, if you're not getting the story, blame these two. There's some great stuff in here that cum was considered God's ambrosia. To waste one drop was considered highly offensive.
Yes. Totally do it again. I don't mind it. It's a
yeah,
great story.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
But
okay,
come God's ambrosia. I'm listening.
Yeah,
they had competitions, and if you were a loser, you were required to get on bended knee and
suck the cock of the Viking next to you.
Fuck, this is written so poorly.
Basically,
there was a lot of fucking and sucking that went on among the Vikings.
My naughty Viking costume was pretty damn good. I have to say, I'll have to send you all a picture.
Just makes me wish I was a Viking. I would have done very well.
Me too, or a Roman soldier.
Same, girl.
Male warriors of the Viking period were frequently intimate with one another. It was only after the onset of Christianity that homosexual relations became condemned. But even then, some Vikings did things with one another anyway in defiance of the church.
Because it's fun to divide the church.
This all comes from Fordham University. Some scholar has put together all of these this research about fucking and sucking, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a doctorate in fucking and sucking.
I have a PhD.
And finally, this story.
I'm glad we did that story. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again next week. And finally.
Hate you guys.
Phoebe, please print these two-sided next time.
I'm using a new laptop. I'm sorry. I left everything at my house.
She don't know it.
I can't find the beginning of the Marvel comic story. Okay, here we go. Hit the pride music, JB. This story is dedicated to you. DC Comics has announced plans to commemorate Pride Month 2021 with an 80-page anthology called DC Pride, celebrating its LGBTQ characters and creators.
Yes, I'm really excited.
Amazing.
Someone who read the comic books, I know all the gay characters, and know they never get their spotlight in the real-time
show. Well, they're getting it, honey. DC Pride will feature characters from the ever-expanding universe, including Batwoman,
yes.
Renee Montoya,
yes.
Alan Scott, yes. Midnighter, Apollo, Extraño, Poison Ivy,
yes.
Harley Quinn, Constantine, and others.
Yes, fuck that man.
Batwoman is gay?
Yeah, Batwoman's a lesbian. Mm. The original Batwoman was hardcore lesbian. She had nothing to do with Bruce Wayne. She hated that man because he was a man. It's hilarious.
It will also have huge full-page profiles of DC TV's queer characters and the actors who play them. It'll feature the first appearance of Dreamer, a trans woman superhero, in a story written by actor Nicholas Maines, who plays Dreamer on Supergirl. Maines tweeted her own excitement at the news. On top of this, DC will release 9 Pride-themed variant covers showcasing the leading queer characters throughout the month of June, giving fans the opportunity to purchase comics featuring covers with Batman, Harley, Ivy, Superman, Wonder Woman, and more. Superman's gay?
No, he's a all-hearty straight boy.
Bi-curious.
Finally,
he did have that one thing with Batman that one time, but we're not supposed to talk about it.
Finally, okay. Between June 2021 and January 2022, Marvel will release 8 an 8-issue mini-series called Crush and Lobo. Crush was previously featured as one of the Teen Titans and a member of the LGBTQ community. Crush is the daughter of the Zarnian bounty hunter Lobo.
Oh.
This is getting into some deep shit.
It is.
Anyway, thank you, Marvel.
Good for them.
But you said Lobo. That was from Marvel. That's not Marvel. Lobo's from DC.
Oh, I'm sorry. This story's about DC Comics, yeah. Right?
Yes, it is.
I don't know one from the other, JB. Okay, I'm just girl. Doing this for you.
I appreciate you, and this is what I'm here for.
And to all of our other nerdy comic book loving listeners, congratulations and happy pride. Is our guest ready?
No, I forgot. Totally forgot to call him.
Let's get our guest on the phone, please, JB. He got so excited by the...
I really, really did. I totally forgot about that.
It is Marvel.
The
headline is Marvel Announces Pride Anthology. You know what? I think I wrote the headline wrong because those are all DC characters, right? Yeah. Okay, I apologize, you guys. The story has nothing to do with Marvel. It's only DC. Next time, I will have JB proofread any stories that I do. And I really was fucked up by that whole gay Vikings thing. So blame Ryan and JB for everything.
Just have to keep you in check.
I think I am going to have to be a gay Viking for Halloween.
It's a good one. I did like a little fur vest, a little short shorts. It was very American Apparel meets Viking.
For me, your best Halloween costume will always be little Horfin Annie.
I know. I will never. I think Maria von Tramp was a close second.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. We were going to go to J.L. Calvin on the phone, but this is breaking news. We just got a call from someone we must speak to first. So I don't know if you guys heard this, but there is yet another accuser against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. This came out last night. And now joining us on the phone is Governor Andrew Cuomo. Governor, are you joining us to announce your resignation from office?
Hello, Adam. No, I am not. I am going to fight. We are in the process of, you know, looking, because we have to take these accusations seriously, but we are going to fight. And no, there's no plans to resign. And to be honest, I didn't expect that to be my first question that you asked. So I don't know how much longer I want to talk to you.
Well, the New York Times reported that you were in some kind of weird triangle situation with two of your female aides where you were asking them sexually inappropriate questions and you looked down the blouse of one of them and grabbed the other one's breast. I mean, these are women who worked for you. How do you respond to that?
You know, people don't realize that under Obamacare, bosses are asked to do more screenings, more health checks on their employees. And, you know, this is called being a hands-on boss. I think if it was misinterpreted, you know, that's unfortunate.
Governor, are you saying you were screening them for breast cancer when you groped them?
And by the way, they weren't unhappy when I told them I found no lumps. There was no complaints then, but all of a sudden there's complaints now.
Oh my God.
And what about the accusation that you and your administration covered up the deaths of thousands of nursing home patients during COVID?
What I say to that is I did not cover up anything. There was some indiscrepancies with the numbers that we're looking into now. But anybody who brings that up, I have already assured, I will kill their grandparents if they continue to insult me by bringing up the deaths of other senior citizens.
Unbelievable. Well, joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, is the man behind the voice of Governor Cuomo and so many others, Mr. J.L. Covin.
Hey! Oh, it's me.
Amazing.
Your Cuomo is so fucking good. When did you realize you could do Cuomo?
This summer, I shouldn't say this summer, it's you forget the time that's gone by. Last summer, when I sort of was really getting a ton of heat for the Trump, you know, I'm somebody who didn't want to be known only as, oh, you're the guy who does Trump and nothing else.
Right.
So considering I'm a stand-up comedian and also that I do other impressions, I started working on one probably as early as last May. And it was very brief. It was very brief, but it was sort of, you know, good in the little 20-second snippet. But it wasn't until a couple of months ago that I really felt like I was like, oh, I think I've got it. I think I've got it. Like, I can now do a 5-minute video as Cuomo as opposed to just like a 20-second soundbite.
I feel like with him, like, you've nailed the accent, but you've also nailed, he does this thing where he speaks in very short declarative sentences and takes a break between each sentence, like he's talking to a child.
Well, right, and that's obviously, you know, and one of the good things about impressions is if you're not playing the role in a movie, you really only have to capture what most people get about the person, and his press conferences is obviously where people saw him, and it had this kind of confident but sing-songy lecture to America, so that's really the tone that I made, you know. I'd like to maybe be able to get a little more nuance, like when he gets angry, but, you know, for the most part, we just hear him in the kind of, hello, so we are doing a lot of work for people.
And it's the up talk, too. It always goes up. Right. We were just talking about the Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry, and I want to play a short clip of you from your YouTube channel. This is JL as Donald Trump reacting to the Meghan and Harry interview. Do you have that, JB? Take a listen.
I watched Oprah. Oh, by the way, I think I have more wealth than her, more wealth than her. The radical left media won't tell you that, but we're doing very strongly. But I watched this interview, which was, to be honest, so much nicer than the way a lot of these people would interview me. And I have to admit, when they were saying that the royals, these people in England, who we defeated very strongly, by the way, in the revolution, like so many years ago, like 80 years ago. And they were concerned that the baby would be too dark. And this may be surprising coming from me, but if you're worried that the redhead and the very light-skinned pretty girl were going to give you, you know, like a super dark Omarosa type baby, you're too racist even for me, to be honest. So we'll see what happens.
So good.
So really good.
Fucking good.
A lot of,
especially the when you take the big sniff in the middle of it.
Yeah, and some people have said to me, they were like, oh, you get like the breathing of Trump pretty like well in addition to sort of funny content.
Yes.
And I said, the problem is to do the impression, I end up kind of puffing my chest out to make the kind of, like the forced, like I'm on the toilet talking.
Yeah.
And of a Trump, and it like the breathing comes naturally because I'm always kind of forcing out breath.
It's so exhausting.
Every so often I have to like breathe in, and then it just kind of makes the impression even better.
Well, that's your daily cardio, right?
Exactly. Well, yeah, it has been for the last year pretty much.
You had a ton of MAGA people following you during the Trump administration because either they didn't realize you were mocking him or they did, but they still loved what you were doing because you were so much like him. Are they still following you in the wake of the election? Did you lose followers?
I was losing them along the way because they could have just sat there and enjoyed what they wanted to, but it was when you get those posts that are like, stay out of politics, you're going to lose half your fans. And I'm like, I'm not going to lose half my fans. I'm going to lose half the voters, and that's okay.
Right.
But I'm not going to lose half my fans. But everybody is sort of very self-centered when it comes to comedy. I lost a few, but mostly through sort of direct confrontation. Like, not through like, oh, I realized he's a lib, so I don't like it. It would be somebody saying, hey, I like your stuff, and I'm a Trump supporter, and I'd be like, blocked.
Right.
I don't know why people think it's the weirdest sort of there's bipartisanship to me is like, I voted for Mitt Romney, you voted for Joe Biden, but we can see eye to eye on certain things. If you voted for Trump, especially twice, that's, you know what I mean? Like,
there's,
you understand.
There's no meeting of the minds there.
Yeah. That's not, hey, we've just got to agree to disagree. But this dude hates women, hates immigrants, hates black people, like weaponizes that hate, doesn't care about the country, did a horrible job. And it's like the idea that I have to sort of be like, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, this is way different than just I'm a Republican and support certain policies. Like,
right.
So
and the
I was happy to lose them.
I think
even though many of them would probably like my comedy because my stand up is pretty apolitical.
Yeah.
But my impressions are not. So,
well, that's the thing about you. And I think I've asked you this before. When you did stand up for years and years and years, and you were not an impressionist, right? That wasn't your thing.
I start very early, like my first 2 years doing stand-up, because I started, my first year was in D.C. I was doing a lot of impressions. Mm. And then, you know, you live life and you want to talk about other things. And it was when I started my YouTube channel many years ago that I sort of said, oh, instead of getting on stage and going, what if Owen Wilson were Jesus's dad? I could just do that in a sketch and not have to do all the forced setups on stage that, like, a lot of impressionists often have to do. To like get the joke out. So with impressions, I just sort of put them into sketches so they didn't have to be like artificially forced into stand-up routines. So I've been kind of on a, like a split path where my stand-up is my stand-up and my impressions and stuff go to YouTube sketches.
So you always knew you were good with voices, that was a skill that you had.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, 'cause I remember doing shows with you, and I guess this was, you were already, you know, 5 years in when you and I would do shows together, but I don't remember you ever doing an impression. So when you started making Podcast Great Again podcast, I was like, oh, he does a great Trump. I didn't realize like you do everyone. Talk me through the process of developing a new impression. Is it visual? Do you have to look in a mirror? Are you playing tapes and talking aloud to the tapes? What do you do?
I think I sometimes wonder, obviously there has to be a little bit of vocal talent that not everybody has. I'm not Celine Dion here, but I'm saying there is, some people can do them.
Yeah, it's a talent.
Yeah. But in terms of getting them, I think I've always just been good at processing. If I think it and then try it, like, I usually am pretty good at approximating and guessing if I can do somebody. And I don't know if that comes from, you know, I had a New York, thick New York accented mother and a Haitian immigrant father. So I don't know if that early on hearing different types of voices and sounds in my own family kind of acclimated me to that skill. I have no idea, but I'll hear a voice. Like one time, George Lopez was an impression. I haven't done it for a while, but I just tried it. Because I was like, okay, he's kind of raspy, and I started talking like this, and I started saying, well, when you had a bug, your eye, and it's not that good right now, but it's
pretty good.
The Trump was similar to the George Lopez, where I just sort of, I could do a rasp with the George Lopez, and I said, what if I could do that with Trump? And then I just started, like, I took away sort of the accent, and I just kept the, you know, added heavy breathing, but added like a sore throat to it. And then then you just kind of try to remember what he talks. So, you know, hey, I'm in an interview right now and I'm very calm, by the way. Very calm.
It's creepy to me when you do it, like talking to you, because I really feel like I'm talking to him and I want to scream at him.
Yeah. So I have a good ear and I can do a lot. I can't do everybody. I can't do, I mean, Biden is a particular challenge because I've said, you know, if SNL were really bold, I think they'd be looking at, like, you know, 60-year-olds, no name 60-year-olds, and saying, can you do a Biden? Because I think there's something about his voice that's just weathered.
It's just old.
It's just old, and it's very hard to really replicate old. Like, actually, you can kind of go, hey, I'm Joe Biden, and I'm just kind of, hey. But it's that, you know what I mean? That just sounds like a young person pretending.
I actually felt like of all the Bidens they've had, Jason Sudeikis came the closest, just in terms of kind of capturing his essence and his personality. And I thought Jim Carrey was the worst.
Yes, we agree on Carrey. I was partial. I laughed at Sudeikis. But I personally was a Woody Harrelson fan because I felt he gave me the, you know, maybe it was just his weed smoking, but it felt like more like he had the laid back Joe Biden, whereas Sudeikis was like amped up younger Joe Biden.
Yeah. JL, you, I feel like, have always straddled several lines. I feel like you're kind of on the line between liberal versus conservative, black versus white, comedian versus tall man in the circus. I know lots of people assume that you're white when you're not. Like, I'm wondering how you're feeling with the whole backlash against so-called cancel culture. Because I also know you're a big free speech warrior, and yet, you know, you're vehemently anti-Trump and anti-MAGA. So, like, where do you fall right now in these conversations about people being canceled and not being able to speak their mind and say what they want and so forth?
I'm definitely somebody who when it comes to comedy and things like that, veers very heavily on the side of let people say what they want in context. And when it comes to, you know, cracking down on people's things they may have said as teenagers and stuff, it feels way too harsh to me. Because I can say this, like, I used to say as a teenager, I said the F word a lot.
Faggot?
And yes. Mm-hmm. And I never, you know, I could use that excuse of, oh, well, I didn't mean it like that. But the truth is, and I've had arguments with friends over that very word and said, it's a slur. Don't say it. Like, stop doing the I don't mean it like
right.
this, because that is what it means. Like, the idea, can you use the N-word and say, oh, I don't mean it like that?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And the word itself is violent.
It is. Like, people have been killed being yelled that name as they die. Like, right. like there's it's a ridiculous justification. And but I said it as a teenager, and if I had Twitter back then, I'd like to think I was a smart enough kid that I would not have put it down in any permanent form. But who's to say if I had Facebook in 1995, I might not have called my friend Joe the F word and just been like, ha, 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 ha. Now, if that comes back to haunt me when I'm 30 looking for a job, I'd feel that was pretty unfair, especially if I'm going, No, I was a kid and I think it was horrible what I said, of course.
I feel like you're alluding to what happened this past week with the new editor of Teen Vogue, this black woman.
Can I tell you a funny story about that? I was a high profile person, ordered a cameo from me 3 weeks ago to congratulate her as Trump for getting that job.
Yeah, I saw you post about that. her name is Alexandra McCord, I believe, right?
Something that sounds. Alexis is her first name.
Alexis McCord.
I
feel bad. I feel bad about this. For one thing, you know, she was this rising black star in journalism. It was going to be the first time ever that a black woman was going to be the editor of Teen Vogue. She's 27 years old. These tweets were from when she was 17.
Right.
She's already owned up to them before she got the job. She said, this happened. I had these tweets. I'm embarrassed. I deleted them. Some of them were racist against Asians. Some of them were homophobic. And she was fired. She doesn't have the job anymore. And I do think what you do before you're 18, unless it's like you actually commit violence or murder or rape, I kind of feel like you get a pass. You're not a person yet. You don't have a fully formed brain yet.
Right. Like Mark Wahlberg, I think, gouged out like an Asian American, yes. an Asian immigrant's eye.
And everyone just forgave him.
Like, and they're like, well, you know, Departed was good.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, he's probably in a like panic room right now for the next 6 months. Like, because they're going to be digging up every anti-Asian sort of story. I'm not demeaning that. I'm just saying I'm waiting for Mark Wahlberg to have his time.
Yeah,
more deservingly, to be honest, than some other people.
But I feel like I feel like it's come up again and again over the years, and he always just slides by. I think there are certain celebrities who are just Teflon when it comes to these kinds of scandals, and then other ones, it's like, oh, you're canceled. I think – I don't believe in cancel culture as a concept. I just think people are being held accountable for their words and actions for the first time, particularly white men are being held accountable, and they're freaking out about it. But I do think there's sometimes an overcorrection that goes on. And in the case of this Teen Vogue editor, I think it was an overcorrection. But in any case, it's time to play everyone's favorite at-home quiz show, Ask Me No Questions. Oh, that's the wrong song. Here we go.
Ask me no questions.
And JL agreed to answer these questions in the voice of various politicians and celebrities. I did not tell him any of the questions in advance, but I did tell him we'd be doing this. So first of all, I want to speak to Senator Mitch McConnell, and I want to ask, what is a sexy game that you and your wife Elaine Chao like to play in bed?
So thanks for the question, Elaine, and I like to. We do some role playing where she dresses up as Barack Obama, and I take her from behind and say, "You're never getting these judges passed." And it's very exciting, and it turns me on.
When you do the McConnell impression, you make your face contort in such a way that your chin disappears. It's amazing.
Some of that is helped by COVID dietary lapses. Like I used to be able to make a double chin if I compressed, and now I can almost get a triple if I really squish myself. So,
okay, now I want to talk to Dave Chappelle. What are your thoughts on Candace Owens?
Candace Owens, okay. Candace Owens has got to be one of the sickest, dumbest black women I've ever met in my entire life. This woman, I think, she's an articulate piece of shit. That's how I would describe her. She's a worthless, she has horrible hair because no black hairdresser will take her. So she's probably going to Supercuts saying, give me the MAGA or whatever the hell they do at Supercuts. So she's an articulate piece of shit and I hate her.
I can almost see the cigarette dangling from your fingertips.
There you go. I was making the cigarette.
Okay, I want to speak to former President Trump, and I'm going to give you an F, marry, kill. This is a Meghan edition. You have to fuck one, marry one, and kill one. Meghan Markle, Megan Fox, and Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay, so I don't think I could kill Megan Thee Stallion if I tried. So I think we've got to go with kill Meghan Markle, which will get me, you know, great respect from the British people. You know, they're strong fans of mine. So we're going to kill Meghan Markle. We are going to F Meghan Thee Stallion, okay? And we'll see if that WAP is, you know, she's going to get that, the WAP is going to get the dad. We call it the dad, the dry ass dick. That's what we call it in the Trump House. And then we're going to marry a very beautiful, very Caucasian Megan Fox.
Now, did you just come up with dry ass dick on the spot?
I did.
That's fucking good. Brilliant. That's brilliant.
That's good.
When you spend your entire year talking as other people in your apartment, you know, there's a sadness and a genius that can emerge.
It's really good. Okay. I want to talk to former Vice President Mike Pence, and, I want to hear if you could tell us about the time you lost your virginity.
You know, that's a private question between mother and I, but I was 17 at a conversion therapy camp, and the counselor walked in and he said, "Michael, if you let me do this, I'll take the gay away." And as I learned in many years later, that was when I actually lost my virginity.
To Michael.
I'm Michael. His name was, I think his name was Gary.
Oh, you're my wife. I'm sorry. I got confused for a second. You're Michael, and Gary took your virginity at the gay conversion camp.
And I never, a week later, I was engaged to mother.
And she knows about this.
Oh, is this going live? This is off the record, right?
No, I'm sorry, former vice president. This is live. Your secret's out.
Well, she's a strong Christian woman, and she'll stand by me. She honors her husband no matter how many other things her husband has done.
All right. I want to talk to Governor Cuomo, as we did earlier, and ask, when will life get back to normal in New York City?
Well, the more accusations that come out, the more I'm going to have to obviously loosen restrictions. So I have put once there is a 10th accuser, that is when I will announce 100% opening so that everybody will be too busy enjoying the sunshine of spring in New York to worry about who's accusing me of what. So I would say 1 month or 3 more accusers, and we will have life back to normal.
And finally, I want to talk to Pastor Joel Osteen and ask, does God love fags?
Oh, that's a good one, because I haven't done Osteen in like 5 years. Sorry to break character. God loves all of his children, and that's why he wants all of us to be rich.
That's
even
not bad.
The gays.
Not bad. Not as good as promo.
The old Osteen is literally, that's a 2015 sketch. So some of the impressions I've got to, you know what I mean? Like I can recall them right away, but others are ones that I sort of worked on in a limited space. to get them good for a video.
You did very well. Our studio audience loves it. JL Covan, how can people follow you?
Oh, sure. My website is jlcomedy.com, and on Twitter, I'm JL Covan, J-L-C-A-U-V-I-N. Instagram, I'm Trump Pod, just because that's related to our podcast. And, you know, if you go to my website, jlcomedy.com, it has every social media link.
Always, bio, always love having you on the show. Thank you so much, JL. Ryan and JB, please plug yourselves.
At Ryan Frosting on Instagram and Twitter.
At Stalking Anarchy 12, only on Instagram.
Thank you all so much. Tune in next week to hear a brand new special, The Best of Guest List Strikes Back. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at adamsank. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Have a great week, bitches. Bye.
Have a good week.